Well, 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 good morning. It's a very beautiful morning. It's a nice and cool breeze. It's like it has been raining somewhere, and then the cool breeze, as you know, we are just receiving the cool breeze. I haven't received the rain. So a very nice, beautiful Wednesday morning. I nearly said Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning, cool breeze. Very nice morning. How are you this morning? How is the morning where you are? So wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Thanks for joining us. And it's a pleasure actually having you. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM at this point in time, you know, to be in the company of Eagle FM. So our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us. I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making actually headlines. So we keep it clear, so a little witty, and always asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying right out there. So just the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So that's what we do here. And thanks for joining me. And let's do this together. So before we get there, let's start as we usually start. We look at what happened on this day in Africa. Any significant event that happened during the course of history in Africa. And yes, on this day in Africa, let's see what happened on this day in Africa. Actually, here in the land of the brave, on the 29th October 1905, Hendrik Witbooi, leader of the Nama people in Namibia, from Namibia, died from wounds sustained in a battle with German colonial forces. So his resistance against the German colonial rule made him a key figure in Namibia anti-colonial history as a symbol of indigenous struggle. So the legacy of Witbooi continued to resonate in Namibia's national identity. So, and on this day, Ellen Johnson's Sirleaf was born on the 29th of October, 1938, in Monrovia, Liberia. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf became the first elected female head of state in Africa when she became president of Liberia in 2006. So she has been a prominent figure for women's leadership, post-conflict recovery, and governance reform in Africa. So her life and career provide a rich subject for discussion around gender, governance, and African leaderships. So it is her birthday today. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, you know, was born on the 29th of October, 1938. So, and in 1964, on the 28th of October, on the 29th of October, the United Republic of Tanganyika, you know, you remember those who were referred to, you know, the Tanganyika group. So the United Republic of Tanganyika and Zanzibar was renamed the United Republic of Tanzania. So it changed to the United Republic of Tanzania in 1964. So, and in 1998, on this day in 1998, South Africa, Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the TRC, presented its comprehensive report on apartheid, which condemned both the human rights abuses of the apartheid government and also the violence committed by the African National Congress, the ANC. Yes. So, yeah, that's what we have on this day in Africa. So those are some of the significant event or historical event that happened on this day in Africa. So how do we go about the day today? We go about by looking at what is our thought for the day. So the smoke caused by meat, which is roasted, does not cause pain in the eyes of a hungry person. The smoke caused by meat, which is roasted, does not cause pain in the eyes of a hungry person. Now, the proverb means that when someone is in a great need or a desire, like hunger, you know, they do not get bothered or distracted by difficulties or discomfort. Now, discomfort represented now by a smoke. So they don't get distracted by any difficulties or discomfort. So in other words, when a person truly wants or needs something badly, the minor troubles or inconvenience associated with getting it do not actually deter or affect them emotionally. So the focus remains firmly on the desired goals or relief, despite any surrounding hardship. So the Proverbs teaches about perseverance and the power of necessity to overcome obstacle or discomfort. So it highlights human resilience when chasing what is most needed or desired. Yes, so the smoke caused by meat, which is roasted, does not cause pain in the eyes of a hungry person. So whatever you are pursuing today, hopefully the smoke, you know, does not cause pain in your eyes. Eh? Yeah, does not cause. So that means you are resilient, you know, and, you know, you are resilient because of what you need and what you're pursuing and what you desire. And, yeah, no matter what actually going through, this obstacle or discomfort, it doesn't deter you from actually achieving what you want to achieve. So that's the thought of the day. Hopefully that, you know, help you to make choices or decisions that actually help you to achieve your goal this today. So good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, welcome to your favorite talk radio station. My name is Michael Chauvelli, and thanks for joining us this morning. So what do you expect? You know, what do you expect on the show this morning? Well, we have so much to discuss, as usual. So the Road Fund Administration faces a $4.5 billion funding deficit. Well, we will talk about that. So, and the RMB report says Namibia's growth stuck in the neutral. Well, that's also another report worth looking at. So, and if we still have time, we still have more stories that we can look at. And your participation is also part of the show. So you will be welcome to take part and share your opinion, your understanding, your mind, say your mind as well. So you will be welcome to come through as well. So that's what we have for you this morning. And as you can see, very interesting. And hopefully, you know, don't even hopefully. Well, stay tuned. We will be back in a sec.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, go high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's very true. If you missed any episode, if you missed any episode of Unpacking the Day, you can only do that. You can only go back and listen, you know, to that. If you missed it and you want to listen it to it again, you can only do that if you have, you know, the Eagle FM app, Eagle FM mobile app. Once you have that, once you download that, and you can download that from Google Play and at the App Store, so you can do that. It's the only way you can be able to, when you miss any program, any favorite of your program, you can always go back and, you know, replay your favorite show that you have missed. So that's how you can make sure that you remain connected to Eagle FM wherever you are. It doesn't matter when and how and where, so you will be connected to Eagle FM. So good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. And it's good. It's great to have you. It's a great morning. It's actually a very, very, very good morning today. Hopefully, this kind of weather stays for a little while, because here, as I told you yesterday or the day before yesterday, we are the one on the bright stand, my friend. We are the one who are being bright, you know. So, yeah, hopefully, the weather stays this. You just hope that, okay, maybe by 10, 11, 12, it's still the same. Let's go to the market and we come back.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
I think I need to find myself. And the way you all need to find myself is actually getting to UNAM, so that when I am in UNAM, then it's me, you know? All right. A very good morning to you. Make sure that you go to UNAM if you want to find yourself. Okay? So good morning. Good morning. Welcome. It's a Wednesday morning. We are right in the middle of the week. And good morning. So our time is about 16 minutes. Past the hour of 8, and we're coming to you live, direct from Ondangwa studio, and I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. So welcome back to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. So one of the most pressing stories shaping our country's developing conversation is the 4.5 billion funding deficit facing the RFA, the Road Fund Administration. So now, my friend, 4.5 billion, that's a big number. That's a lot of money. So, but behind, sometimes, you know, when we hear this money, until I become part of this, you know, of this program, I never really, now I have that kind of tendency now to focus on things more. But before that, you know, I would read probably 4.5 billion and, okay, that's not really have any attention to that, you understand? But when you look at that and realistically you think, no, but behind that figure, actually behind that figure, 4.5 billion, actually lies a story. Behind that figure lies a story that I believe in one way or another would actually impact every single one of us. You know? Yeah. From the pothole, from the pothole you dodge in Havana when you go to work, you know, or when you are on your daily commute, you know, to work or from work, you know, to the goods that reach our stores and to the truck rumbling in and out of Wabash Bay, carrying the hopes of regional logistic hub that we call Wabash Bay, or that we want Wabash Bay to be. So definitely there is a story behind that figure. And sometimes we don't pay attention to that. So on Unpacking the Day, today we're asking, what is really going on with Namibia's road? What is going on with Namibia's road? Of course, our roads are the best, and we are told, are the best in Africa. You know, our road networks are the best in Africa. But how long that would say the best if we have a deficit of that amount of money, if we're not maintaining them over and over? So why does the RFA keep running short of money? And who should be footing the bill to keep our road safe, to keep our road smooth, to keep our road functional? Who should be footing, you know, who should be footing the bill? Yes, that's what we're going to look at throughout. That's what we're going to unpack in this segment about what is going on with RFA. So let's start with the very basic to these questions, all right? So that we get, let's get started, a little bit of a background, you know, what is going on. So the RFA, for those of you, maybe you don't know, it's responsible for collecting funds through the road users charges, all right? So things like the fuel levy, cross-border fees, and what is the other thing? Vehicle registration, yeah. So, and then channeling that money into maintaining and rehabilitating our road network. So that's basically the RFA does. Now, for the 2025-2026 financial year, the RFA received funding requests totaling about 8.2 billion, all right? 8.2 billion, but only 3.7 billion could be allocated. Only 3.7 billion could be allocated. Now you know where the deficit is coming from. Now that means only less than half of what's needed to keep the road in shape is available. Now, let me paint a picture for you, okay? So that you know, as I said, I'm a trainer, and normally I like to give scenarios so that people can understand better what you're saying. So let me paint the scenario of what is going on. Now, imagine you're trying to fix a 4-bedroom house, okay? With a budget only enough for the kitchen and half of the lounge, you know, the rest of the house, well, it will actually start to fall apart. So that's what we're talking about here, you know? So what the road authority says, nearly half of our gravel roads are in poor or very poor condition. 1 in 5 of our tired roads is more than a decade old and losing its actually protective layers. And I'm mentioning that just for you to understand where we are, and in terms of, you know, if we're not keeping this, there are issues already. So the gravel roads are in poor conditions. This is what the road authority is saying. And also, 1 in 5 of our tired road is more than a year, not a year, it's more than a decade old, or more than 10 years old, and it's losing its protective layers. So, now, we are not talking, and here we're not talking about inconvenience here. We're not just talking about inconvenience. We are talking about, you know, safety risk, the safety risk. We're talking about safety risk. We're talking about damage to vehicles. So what happened to you when you get into these potholes? Some of them are bigger than, you know, they damage your tires. They damage your cars, you know, damage to vehicles. And also, the most important things, if the road network is not actually good enough, is not properly maintained, it's slower economic growth. You know, sometimes, you know, there are so many facets to when we're talking about our economy is very slow. And there's a story that we're going to look at, the one of the RMB that is talking about it, that we are stuck in the neutral, you know, is actually talking about, you know, slow growth of economy. And all these little things, it's like puzzle. All this little puzzle add up to the bigger picture. And unless we understand all these little things, you just look at the bigger picture. No, you just have this understanding, slow growth, slow economic growth. But you don't understand that these are the things that actually contributed to that. All right? So, so that also, as I said, there are so much. It's not just about kind of like inconveniences, but these are really, we're talking about bigger things. We're talking about, you know, safety risk. We're talking about, you know, damage to our vehicles. And we talk about, you know, ultimately a slower economic growth. Yeah? So now, so let's follow the money trail. Let's follow the money trail here. Now, most of the RFA's income comes from the fuel levy. All right. So currently, when I looked at that up, currently is at $2.43 per liter after actually recent increases. So $2.43 per liter. So yes. Every time, and this is what you do. So every time you filled up your tank, every time you filled up your tank, a few dollar goes to the road fund. Okay? So a few dollar just from you filling up, it goes to the road fund. So, but here's now the challenge. Okay? So Namibia's vehicle fleet, okay, is actually not growing fast enough to now significantly pumping up revenue. Eh? So it's actually not growing enough, you know, to significantly pump up revenue in this way. And also, yesterday we were talking about, so when we're talking about, while as we saw, talk about the fuel consumption, might actually, so when we're talking about the transitions, you know, greener transition, and we're talking about the word just get out of my head, a drop in the future as we move towards, you know, greener or more efficient technology. But that's for later. Let's talk about what is happening now. So, now, raising the fuel levy again and again, it feel like, you know, squeezing a dry lemon. You know, you get less juice every time you squeeze. You know, the more you squeeze, the more you get less. And with the rising cost of living as well, more fuel price hike, that could hit you and me most of the time. you know, with the ordinary in your motorist. So the only way, like electricity, is actually to increase, to raise your fuel levy again and tariff and things like that. So, which actually you squeeze in something which already under constraint of cost of living and higher price of oil itself. So, because that's the only way you now you would actually, you know, maybe, you know, met that deficit. It's just raising, and the people now that you increase that fuel levy, who would be suffering? It's you and me, eh? The ordinary motorists, you and me, that you'll be suffering. Now, the RFA has raised other fees too, 20% of cross-border. The 20% of on cross border, they increased the 20% on cross border and heavy load charges, and also 10% on the road carrier payments. So, but those changes, they don't really make much of a difference. They don't move a needle at all, you know? So they don't make much of a difference. So where else can the money come from then? Where else can the money come from? That's where the debate start heating up. So where else can the money come from? It's now for you and me to think. As for the RFA to think. As for the government to think. So where can we get the money to continue maintaining our roads? So now the officials are talking about alternative financial mechanism. Well, those are, you know, when people are using this fancy word, it's exactly just saying, you know, it just means tolling and use and usage-based charges. That's all what it means, actually. So, yeah, they're looking at alternative financial mechanisms. So let's have a quick commercial break, and we'll continue. Stay tuned.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. So we're talking about tolling and usage-based charges. That's what we're talking about. That's what they're talking about, alternative financing mechanisms. Now, toll gates on Namibia's roads. How does that idea sit with you? So what do you think about toll gates on Namibia's roads? So in South Africa, for instance, tolling has long been... has long been controversial, and with motorists actually complaining about paying twice, like once through the taxes, and again on the road. So it's not something that is really well welcomed in other places as well. So the RFA also want to introduce a distance-based charges. They also want now to introduce a distance-based charges. So meaning the more you drive, the more you pay, you know? The more you drive, the more you pay. Or, and even a levy on electric vehicles. They also want to introduce a levy on electric vehicles. And well, that's actually a forward-looking, yeah? Forward-thinking, but let's be honest. So how many EVs do we actually have in Namibia right now? Maybe a few hundred at best? Not maybe even 100. Yeah, maybe a few hundred at best. So that And that one fill a 4.5 billion hole anytime soon, definitely. So, yeah, the EVs, okay, as I said, it's a forward-looking, but it won't make a dent at all at this point in time. So, all right, so those are some of the things the RFA are thinking to introduce a distance-based charges and also, well, the EV levy, a levy on electric vehicles as well. So, yeah. Now, the deeper question is, now, should we, the road users, bear all the responsibility? Should we bear all the responsibility? Or should government step in with more direct funding as well? So what do you think? Should we bear all the responsibility? Or should the government step in with more direct funding? Well, according to Roads Authority's plan, the government contributed just 15 million to maintenance last year. 15 million to maintenance last year, which is actually a drop in the ocean compared to the billion needed. So if you look at 15 million, you know, and we're talking about 4.5 billion, that's actually a drop in the ocean. It's a drop in the ocean. That is surprising. So considering the roads are not just for private use, for private motorists, so they are economic lifeline. The roads are economic lifelines. The road networks are economic lifelines. They move food, they move minerals, well, tourists as well, when tourists come into a country. I'm thinking in terms of now, as I said, this is economic lifelines. So, and they move fuel, you know, from one place to another. So if road crumbles, so does the economy. Seriously, if the road crumbles, so does the economy. So that's why earlier said this contributed also to a slower. If we can't maintain our road, our network, it contributes to a slower economic growth as well. So if road crumbles, so does the economy as well. So now, Namibian Vision 2030, in case if you check in the book, in that book, you know, and also, because I have been actually reading the fifth National Development, I was reading and said, what is that we haven't achieved in there? And that's make me really go through that, go through the NDP 5. Now, the Namibia's Vision 2030 and the fifth National Development talk about infrastructure as the backbone of industrialization, okay? Industrialization, trade, and inclusive growth. It talks about, really about that, which actually include, part of that is actually the road network. So this is actually the backbone. We're talking about the backbone of our industrializations. So road network. Now, think of this, when I'm talking about, think of this, the deficit that we're talking about, you know, and the money that is needed to maintain this road network. And that vision that we have now for industrialization, for trade, and for inclusive growth. This is what you need to think as we're looking at this. Eh? Our ports, especially in Walvis Bay, are supposed to serve as a gateway to the region, linking us to Botswana, Zambia, even to DRC, you know? So because that's what the founding president wanted to as well. So, but a logistic hub is only as strong as the road feeding into it. Eh? If you want this, if you want, for example, Walvis Bay to be now a logistic hub, it's only as strong as the road that actually feeding into it. if trucks drives, you know, if trucks now are dodging lop, are dodging what? Are dodging potholes between Arandes and Swakop, I mean, Usakos, eh? Or maybe, or Rospina and Kietmanshoop on the other side. So if we have then drivers dodging potholes between those towns, we actually risk losing the competitive edge. Eh? So we are risking actually losing that competitive edge to our neighboring country, to our neighboring corridors in South Africa and in Angola, and Angolas as well. So this is very, 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 very serious. It is very serious. So now let's remember, the condition of our road also speaks to the governance. It also speaks to the governance. Maintenance delays, you know, cost more in the long run. So if you see now every year, you know, there's this deficit we see, the more we delay, the more that will cost us in the long run. Maybe we won't be able to manage it all. Fixing a pothole now, right now, fixing a pothole now might cost a few thousand dollars. But rebuilding a collapsed road layer, as you're talking about that, they're losing already some protective layers. So now rebuilding a collapsed road layers costs millions. So you see that's the difference. So now when we talk about funding debate, so the funding debate here is not just about the money. When you look at that, it's not just about the money. Sometimes it's about the timing, you know. If you don't do anything now, you know, that will cost you a lot of money later. It's about timing. It's about planning, you know. If you leave it now, you know, it's still going to cost you later. Your poor planning would actually cost you later. And it's about political will. Eh? It's about political will as well. So those are things that are very, very important. Look, we tend just to think about, 4.5. And as I said, I used to feel that way as well. I could read 4.5 billion and say, you know, this, they are not doing well, or what is it, you know. But there are issues when you think about it. Now, so, and this is, here's a point that logistic expert often make, okay? So the logistic expert more often makes that not all road users causes the same damage. So you hear that not all road users use the same damage. And this is something that we need to look at into, you know, seriously maybe. A single heavy truck can cause as much wear as thousands of small passenger vehicles. A single heavy truck can cause as much wear as thousands of small passenger vehicles. Yet the revenue, when you look at that, the revenue from those trucks, especially foreign registered ones, does not always match the destruction they cause. Now, where is that information? In the last financial year, the RFA raised about 185 million from the cross-border charges. From the cross-border charges, and about 47 million from mass distance charges for foreign vehicles. 185 million from cross-border charges, and about 47 million from the mass distance charges for foreign vehicles. Now, compare that to now 2.1 billion from fuel levies, which is actually being that our contributions, the motorists, the small vehicle motorists. 2.1 billion from fuel levies. The math doesn't add up. Yeah? The math doesn't add up. So maybe it's at the time. It is a time to tighten the rules on heavy load charges and cross-border enforcement. And it's only Namibia that it doesn't do that quite. It's only us that we don't have tied up rules in terms of heavy load charges and cross-border enforcement. Neighboring countries like Zambia and Botswana have stricter system for monitoring heavy vehicles. So we can't afford to be the soft spot, eh? Where truck pay the minimum but cause the maximum damage or maximum wear. Eh? We can't afford that. Now, we are the soft spot here. So we can't afford that. So as you can see, I have given you that. That we are made more to respond, to be responsible for everything. Eh? The tourist, I mean not the tourist, the motorist, the small car motorist, you and I. Eh? So now let's look quickly to municipalities as well. So because municipalities are also struggling. So municipalities are feeling the pinch too. Yeah? Take Lutris or Wavis Bay. Their local roads are deteriorating faster than the councils can repay them. Yeah? They are deteriorating than the council actually can repay them. Potholes, unjust nuances. Sometimes those are just not nuances. Yeah? They are actually, when you look at those potholes, they are visible reminders of limited municipal revenues. When they're not moving away, eh? When every year, when you see them, they are reminders that these are the municipal revenues are limited to be able to solve those problems. Eh? Well, Wavish Bay at least managed to secure a 400 million partnership with the RFA and Road Authority to fix 17 key routes. That's good news. It shows collaboration. Eh? We're coming back. Stay tuned.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been planified. Like boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Well, go and get in that Polana pie, man. It's make my mouth, salivate, you know. All right. So we're talking about municipality strugglings as well, you know. Yeah. So, and I was talking about Wavis Bay has at least, you know, managed actually to secure about 400 million partnership with RFA and Road Authority to fix some routes, key routes. Now, that's really good. It shows that collaboration works when priorities aligned, you know. So, but smaller town, the Ondango of this world, the Oshakati and the Tsume of this world don't have that kind of leverage. There are smaller towns who don't have that kind of leverage. So maybe we need to rethink how funds should be shared, you know, between national and local levels. So because what is the point, okay? You know, you have, what is the point having a perfect national highway? You know, your highway is so perfect. But if the road leading to, you know, say for example, when now you come in town, the road leading to schools, the road leading to clinics, the road leading into, you know, you have seen this when you go into certain places, go to Rundu, go to, you know, Katima, go to, you know, many other towns. Okay. Sorry for pointing those ones, you know. So now the road, the highway, it's perfect. Okay. So the highway it's perfect, you know. But the road now leading to schools, clinics in small towns, are full of craters. Eh? Are full of craters. So, of course, it is easy to say we need more money. Eh? Maybe we need also to, you know, to talk about accountability and transparency. When it's easy to say we need more money, the harder task is ensuring that every dollar spent deliver quality. So we're talking about now, whatever little that we get now, does it deliver quality? So you may recall past audit. We have seen some past audit, you know, and reports showing project delayed, poorly executed, you know. We have seen that. I mean, you've probably seen that as well. If we're asking taxpayers and motorists to dig deeper into their pocket, eh? If we ask them to dig deeper into their pocket, there must be some visible result, eh? There must be also some visible result, okay? And maybe it's also, there are other countries that have introduced citizen monitoring or digital updates on road projects. So maybe we should also introduce that citizen monitoring. Eh? So that citizen monitoring or digital update on the road. The similar to what being done in some SADC countries as well. So every Namibian should be able now to see how much is allocated per region and what been achieved. Eh? So it's things like that, because transparency builds trust, and trust attracts investment. So because they know there is that, we can be able to see, eh? Because there is that transparency. So maybe we should introduce that. So the RFA say it is exploring sustainable funding sources. But sustainability also mean, definitely also mean political and social acceptance. So Namibians are ready. We're already facing actually higher unemployment, fuel prices, and of course the rising living cost. So increasing levies without even communications. Some of this might, as I said, it needs social acceptance. Some of this might result it might actually trigger resistance. David was talking about what is happening in Cameroon, you know. So I haven't got, you know, to hear exactly the whole things. So some of those things, when we talk about transparency, when we talk about that there aren't clear communication sometimes, it triggers resistance. Eh? So, yeah. And at the same time, the other thing is also that when we talk about, you know, the deficit, if we ignore maintenance needs, if we are ignoring this maintenance need, create hidden costs that surface later, because this is gonna, so things that you probably think, okay, and that's why we have issues of old infrastructure when it comes to, we talked about water yesterday. So we talked about old infrastructure that hasn't been maintained or replaced, or upgrade to where we are, to the needs, to where we are now, to the population growth. Eh? Maybe trucks have now increased on our road, and that would also affect, you know, the condition, the quality of our road. And we haven't increased the fees that we are talking about. So, yeah, and all this, all this would contribute to transport prices in the end, later on, you know, when we're ignoring those maintenance needs. So we'll later contribute to high transport prices, accidents, you never know, because the quality of the roads are not good. And slower trade. Remember that. So this is where now leadership must bridge the gap between, you know, policy plans and citizens' experience, our experience. So the Harambe Prosperity Plan and the other thing, the Namibia's Infrastructure Development Policy, both emphasize resilience and inclusivity. So roads are not luxury items. They are lifelines. You know, they are really lifelines of our economic growth. And we have policies that have been really emphasizing on this aspect. All right. So, yeah, let's think creatively. Let's think creatively. Could we use public-private partnership? We just, you know, a forum have just been launched. You know, could we use then public-private partnership for specific road corridor? You know, talk about, you know, and especially think of the one that actually leading maybe to road that are leading to mining or industrial site. Why can't we use private partnership? Companies benefiting from the road could co-fund maintenance. Why am I thinking this and you're not thinking about it? No, seriously. Mining or industrial sites, you know, the roads that these companies are benefiting, they should be co-funding maintenance. Could regional councils adopt community-based maintenance model? Maybe. For gravel roads. And you can now provide local jobs, you know, while also you improving the connectivity. Yeah. So, and what about, so we have also to be digital. So what about the digital tolling system that reduce collection costs? And in the way, it's also reducing corruption risk. The technology is there. The technology is there. In some countries, there. So we can always use that. It just need political will and careful, definitely careful management. All right. So you're most welcome to come through now and have your share and have your thought. Let's get to our first caller. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mike Oshoveli.
Yes, how are you?
How are you?
I'm fine, man. I'm always fine.
Oh, thank God for that one. You know, for us sometimes we struggle as to how to manage time.
Yeah, well.
We struggle as to how to cope with this, the toiling of the day.
My friend, when you know what, the thing is this, when you know what, whatever it is, it what it is supposed to be what it is. So you want to change it, that's how you get frustrated.
No. There are situations that you can change, my friend.
Yeah.
So when you situation that you know that there are people who are destined.
Yeah, no, the example I'm giving is this.
They refuse to agree to those kind of situations that they were ascribed to.
Now, let me give you an example. What I'm talking is that, you know that it's hot outside, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you are frustrated that it's hot outside. That's something that you can't change. What you can change is actually changing yourself to suit the situation. Do you understand?
Yeah, you know already that this is beyond your control.
Exactly.
So whether you get frustrated or not.
Exactly. Now you get my point.
You don't change anything.
Exactly.
So all what you need to just to adapt to that prevailing situation.
Exactly. You got my point.
It also happen in leadership.
You get my point. Okay, let's get back to the story today. Okay.
The story of today, I'm going to combine it with the leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of logistic and transportation.
Yeah.
And yes, then just because it's the road fund administration.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't. One of the questions that I was asking myself, which I'm also aware of, is that does the government not provide subsidy for those levies and things like that? Whether it's in the maintenance, but you are talking about the 15 million.
Yeah.
To maintain the roads. So be it 50 or whatever. But I'm very, very happy when you also mention about the private sector.
Yeah.
And thank God that forum just took place. Is it concluded last year, last week?
Mm.
And we have been really talking about those things because with David Sombe, when he brings about those economic governance and all this partnership and collaboration that is taking place, currently taking place, where they met, so they really emphasize strongly that yes, we all need to collaborate.
Yeah.
So if private sector, government, private sector, what is it? Public-private partnership.
Yeah.
If we do not rely really on that, especially for us who are new emerging companies, new entrepreneurs, and all those who want to set up some few industry.
Yeah.
So you also mentioned about the NDP 6, which is
NDP
focusing
5.
On the...
NDP, I mentioned NDP 5, yeah.
NDP 5, NDP 6. So all those infrastructure, be it school construction, all these other things, you know already green hydrogen is there in the market for you just to go and expand your business. If there are digital infrastructure or transformation that you want to do, maybe you can all preach this one to the young ones or those who have got the potential to become entrepreneur or create wealth through others. Because that's what entrepreneur does.
Yeah.
But entrepreneurship does. They utilize all the factors of production and make sure that the wealth is created through people who are employed. So now what I'm saying is that if the government provide subsidy when they are increasing the road fund administration is increasing because of the thing. And I listened to them yesterday, actually, or the day before yesterday when you're deliberating on the tolls fee and all these other things. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they must squeeze the people, but if there are regulations and the laws to do that, in proportion to what the damage, because most, so, but in conclusion, then before I forget something very important in conclusion, Zambia, Zimbabwe, they were all given, they were all accorded with the status of dry ports in Namibia.
Yeah.
So that because they, for them is natural, they were not blessed with the ports and the sea and things like that.
Yeah.
Those Trans-Krahali, the corridors and all these things, when they are taking their goods to wherever they are taking them, that dry port, those dry port that we have given it to them, it means that our logistic and transportation is intact. The only problem that I see is here on the periphery area where we are not organizing ourselves. There are a lot of projects. This is Otindi, Solidarity, what, this other one, Nana, what, this other one. Are those people coming together and acquire some kind of equipment that can... Those people are graduating. The nurses, the teachers, and the houses and all those things must be constructed here in the rural area. Who's going to do that? The money is there. Mimi Netumba has put the money there. Oh, don't you know about that? Perhaps.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah. Mm, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So talk to them about those funds that are made available for them so that they can then get into the infrastructure that they are talking about. There's existing infrastructure that are there where we think there are hanging fruits that we can grip and create wealth.
All right.
God bless.
Thanks for coming through.
And Tate Walenga is saying, hey, don't forget that the very same trucks also contribute towards the fuel levy you are citing. All right. And the solution is simple. Invest in the rail infrastructure. So invest in the rail infrastructure and let foreign truck pick up goods from border terminal like you have or Chicago dry port. Well, that's what Tate Walenga is saying. All right. You can also send your text, any text or contribution through, you can send it to my number. I'll give you a number later.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, boss. How's the morning?
No, so far, so good.
Yeah.
Just worried, this is quite a lot of money. 4.5 deficit. Funding deficits, quite a lot.
Yes, a lot. but for me... Is that when I see what does that road fund they do apart from administration? So what does they do?
They collect.
Because the, what they do is for administration and the collecting money from levy.
Yeah.
What else? Apart from that, they have any even like a. Somewhere they put even like a lodge and everything to create you extra income?
Well, maybe that's not in their mandate.
No, man. Everything, when we mean business, we mean business. And when you're having a capital, you are at the best of to do anything.
Yeah. No, that's
the hotel and everything.
You got a point. Mm-hmm. The point is actually being innovative. You know,
exactly.
And one of the strategy.
You guys just have money.
And this is one thing very important. One of the strategy to reach 2030. I mean, to reach 2030 is actually being innovative.
Very much.
Which we have been highly, highly lacking.
You know? Now, Mike, when you are talking even the road of what between Evanga to Arongo with a costing a lot of life on that road. Why road fund is not even thinking of to install what a toll gate where you have to pay, then you can take your DTI the drivers you want. What? No, the thing is that we can't just have a company thinking of night. The way they started is the way they are operating up to now.
Yeah.
But they're having resource. You can't tell me that road fund they cannot able to create, to generate more income from themselves.
Yeah.
Because they're having capital to start with.
No, you have to be really creative. Traveling. You have to be innovative. I said,
exactly. You gotta be very struggling creative. Company.
Yeah.
And when they are, I see them here donating, DTI to City of Windows. It means they have money. Why should we, as I'm paying my road fund, my road certificate for my car, then I'm driving in pothole. Now, my car is too damaged, I'm getting ticket from City of Windhoek, road fund, collecting all those levies, those monies, but we still have a broken road. Almost like 2 years. No. The problem I see here is that we have people who are not thinking out of box. They are just there. Look here, how they kill RCC.
So what are you thinking about, you know, the toll gates on Namibian roads? Yeah. Do you think that is a good idea?
It is.
Yeah.
It will work. Because remember, there are a lot of people who will tell, no, I will spend only like, 3 hours and then I will reach on Ndangwa from Windhoek. But because of that, the problem, if you find the congestion of trucks, especially are going to Zambia or Zimbabwe, in that road.
Mm. Should that then targeting the trucks, or should it also any?
No. Target is mean small vehicle.
Yeah.
Where the people, those people who are competing, those one who drive a car like a, you know, Subaru is what? I think it's 300 per kilometer.
Yeah, but then people, as in South Africa,
targeting those ones.
Yeah, in South Africa, where motorists are actually complaining about paying twice, they kind of feel like I'm paying through taxes and I also pay on the road.
Then go to the road which you used to. Because this one is mean business. Young people, they are going, they have to. Maybe apart from us, like the older one, we are in a family, to think twice. But these young people, they obviously, they use that road. And the problem for me is that when you are having a road authority which is not really innovative enough, that's how they complain. That is what we are expecting from them. Because they're supposed to come up, even though when you are talking about tower guard and what, they're supposed to even have safaris.
Yeah, there's also a concern that it looks as if the focus is on us road users, and we are the one who bearing all the responsibility. Shouldn't the government step in with more maybe direct fund?
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, these guys, they are getting, I think they're having $1 something on the liter.
Yeah, that's $2 point something. Yeah.
Seriously? That's imagine. How much is we are filling up a truck now? A truck was going to South Africa. It's almost like going to 45. Sometimes they end up even 38, 35. Day. Thousand.
It's $2.43.
How much is they are getting? So in one truck, they're able even to make like a 3,000 something.
Yeah.
You see? How many trucks are a day? How many people are filling up to go to the north? Like me, I'm having a DD4. Then when I'm filling it up, it will go up to like a 2.2.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going to leave Ndangwa. I have to fill up somewhere around Otavi. How much is that money they are making out of one person?
It's quite a lot.
And I think it's a hard time also. I don't know where they report these guys, or they are also in the Kanjeke book. No, I'm asking you. Because I'm not sure where they report to.
You mean in terms of the Auditor General? From the Auditor General?
Yeah.
I think they have their own external auditor. Yeah.
No. For me, it's a hard time. It's them and the white load funds.
MVA fund?
I think that time was they started reporting serious to Kanjeke.
Yeah.
There's a misreading of money in those institutions. I'm telling you. Up to now, because you cannot tell me, you are struggling a place like Windhoek here just to fix those potholes in Katutura alone. No, we have even the CEO are getting more money. More allowance, these guys who are board of directors. But at the end of the day, you are telling me you are having a deficit of what? And remember, we have a lot of trucks are coming into Namibia. From Zimbabwe, DRC, you name it, Angola, all over.
Yeah.
South Africa.
And that's the issue, that sometimes the truck has increased, but
More money. The more the trucks are increasing, more money, my friend.
Yeah, but in comparing to other countries, we haven't even increased the fees, you know.
No, for me,
we are the one fee, paying more than actually, you know.
For them, yeah, because maybe I don't know about the truck we are coming to, how much they charge.
Yeah,
but I remember one thing. I end up one day paying for my cousin who's having trucks.
Mm.
But I'm telling you, this guy is paying more than like 200K a month.
Yeah.
Because he's having a truck who is just living in Oshakati to Joburg or Cape Town.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, one truck, just one truck, 200K monthly.
Mm.
And I'm wondering like now, how much these guys, they might pay truck if we are having a lot of truck like now. If you see that like those guys who are having more than even 100 trucks.
Yeah.
A company. How many these guys are charging? Because it's too much. No. I think it's here. It's where they are, I think they are even giving us information about their institution.
Mm-hmm.
When they come up with a deficit of what? 4.5 billion, which they need.
Yeah.
Let us look at their books. Because remember one thing, when you are registering your car at an artist, those monies are going to road funds.
Yeah.
When you are getting a ticket, that money is going to road funds. When you are paying, filling up your car, that money, no, something wrong. It's a hard time, I think, the accountant people, they need to visit their office.
Yeah.
sometimes, you think maybe you are doing the honest thing, but you are doing the, you are inviting the problem to you. And this is a hard time, I think, even in the anti-corruption, send people who are, like, who this guy was representing the, Namco? I think if with his team, Mulunga? With his team.
Hmm.
Yeah, with his team, he can go and visit him.
Yeah.
Serious, I know. They are supposed to have a lot of money. More than that.
Yeah.
They are supposed to cry for 4.5, seriously.
Alright.
Sharpman.
No, thank you for coming through.
Alright.
Alright. Good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. And we're looking at the RFA facing a funding deficit of 4.5 billion.
A very good morning to you.
Morning, Dr. Mike.
How are you, man?
Ah, good. The levies and the roads, the infrastructure management.
Exactly.
You know, they don't go, the things are not tidying up.
Hmm.
Look, just today only, now, yeah. As we speak.
Yeah.
How many cars are on the road?
Massive. Yeah.
All of us were filled up, either today or yesterday.
Yeah.
This one we filled up also, it doesn't even last. You see it?
Mm.
So now, the question comes, if people are paying, you are collecting money. And whenever you increase the levies, whatever you increase, you use the word maintenance of a road.
Yeah.
If you understand the reasons. Their reasons doesn't go hand in hand in what they are doing. You know, if you look at it, there are two parallel lines drawn amongst these things. If you look at the reason you give me why you are doing this.
Yeah.
And what you have done, they don't talk to each other.
Mm.
So why can't, is it not high time that we start taking people to account?
And then that's the whole question. We're talking about accountability and transparency. You know, we need to see. Mm.
Yes. Not only to see. Yes, we need to see. But if a person have lied.
Yeah.
You see, these people liar. They are liars. We call them liars, but then they say they want to be respected. How to respect a liar?
Yeah.
You told me that you are going to maintain infrastructure. That last rain, it damaged this road. Eh? Now, the same rain is coming. Another rain is coming. Rain season is already here. I have arrived.
Mm.
They did not maintain. But we set up, if you look at how much liters we have filled, let's look at how much liters were filled last year.
Yeah.
In totality. You realize that these guys have made billions. But where did they take the billions? Mismanagement must not be taken to the point, or must not be associated with the, how do you say?
Yeah.
A lack of fund or budget that, no, there was a cut in the budget. There's no cut in the budget. How do you cut budget? If your $2 are guaranteed, you are guaranteed that you get that $2 something. Now you are just failing to maintain the road. You see, that's not fair. I think it's high time we should take people to account.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe maintaining the road is still quite expensive than what they are getting. So as we have seen, they were supposed to get, you know, to maintain it's 8 point something billion. And then they only allocated about 3 point something, you know.
That even the trains and everything uses fuel, some of them, is not so?
Yeah.
Eh? Do they maintain it? The road authority goes maintain the railway line? Eh? Do they do that?
Yeah, no, the road authority.
Yes. I don't think they maintain the road, the railway.
No,
but
they
when
don't.
The train is filling up, when the Transnet is buying fuel,
yeah,
the levy is there. Is that so?
Yeah.
When you go and buy the gasoline to run the generator, which is station, which is not going to use the road, levy is there.
Yeah.
So tell me, where can they come and escape and tell us that no, we are not making enough money? Because certain things they are making money. Certain things don't even use. Maybe 20% of the fuel consumption, the whole fuel consumption in the country.
Mm.
20% of that is not used on the road. Maybe it's not used in cars, which uses the road.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think somehow we have to be honest. And I think it's high time. I think maybe the prime minister, all the SOEs goes under.
Yeah.
I think accountability must be paramount. Because I always say, look, I believe in ethics. You know, sometimes we have been taught by unethical people that we should be ethical.
Mm.
You see, a CEO is not ethical. But he wants people to be ethical. Because a person who is telling us that, no, something with electricity maintenance, somebody is telling us we are increasing it because we want to maintain the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Every day in, year out, you are maintaining and you are telling us the infrastructure is graduating, but you increase to maintain that. And people do not maintain it, and no one holds them accountable.
Mm. Much of what is going now is just patching work, you know, patching work repairs. And next year again, the same thing again, you know?
Yes. It's like you have created the jobs for your, because if you look at also the companies which are doing those jobs,
yeah,
are the same guys who are in that company, the CEOs.
Mm.
Yes. They create companies. This CEO of this company, I've got a small company. The other CEO says, no, give this company this small job for patching.
Yeah.
You know? Yes.
It's just patching work, much of what we see actually, you know, especially
yes. And
in
then the, most of the money goes to their board of directors. I think it's also high time. This board of directors, I think they must be changed. Some of them, they have never performed since they started being board of directors.
Yeah.
It's high time. You can't tell me funds are going down where you have a board of directors.
Mm.
What are they doing? Eh? Municipality, even if you have got council, the municipality is going down. Everything is going down. Everything, go look at companies, they are all going down.
Yeah.
Board of directors are there sitting every day in a desk. You know? No, it's not right.
In an aircon boardrooms, yeah?
And then you go, look, they have got discussed, eh? You know what they discuss? These colleagues of mine, they make me, you know, sometimes they amuse me.
Yeah.
They have got discussed, eh? When is the next meeting?
Yeah.
And then they get the, because there's no way you can see that this company is going down. And the line ministry is not doing anything.
Mm.
Put people to account, tell them this money you're going to get, you have to pay for it. You work for it. You want to see your brain power. What ideas are you bringing to the organization? You see? CEOs must be held accountable. When you, whatever you told us, we should come and say, okay, after 3 months, are you doing what you're doing?
Mm.
Yes.
All right.
But boy, oh, well, let's see. Let's just start holding people account to account. Like the president have shown us the way.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you mess up, following morning you are the prime minister, the following morning you are like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are standing in the same queue. That's right. Accountability.
Yeah. That's accountability. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man.
Thanks. All the best.
Thanks for coming through. All right. So, where does this leave us? You know? Well,
Namibia's road networks remain one of the country's proudest asset. You know, it's remained one of the country's proud asset. Over 49,000 kilometers connecting people, you know, connecting towns, you know, connecting trade routes. So, but there is also, there's only so far, you know, we can really drive on a good wheel. And as we're talking about that patchwork repairs, is we keep doing just those patchwork repairs, you know, at we can only go so far, you know, and you things may start actually crumbling down. Now, the 4.5 billion shortfall is not just a, it's not just an accounting issue. So it is a warning about how we fund, how we manage, and how we value public infrastructure, you know. So it's as I said, you know, sometimes we just think, okay, these people are not doing well in terms, but it affects, you know, it really tells how do we fund, how do we manage, how do we value our public infrastructure. So, and we need honest debate. We need an honest debate. Well, not just about pointing finger. So it's not about pointing finger, but we're really honest. Sometimes you need this honest debate. You know, a financially sustainable, transparent, inclusive approach to road funding, like most of you said, is the key. You know, and that means, you know, balancing user contribution, government support, private investment, all while keeping citizens informed and involved as well. So those are very important aspects. So, yeah. So as we move on, my dear listeners, every pothole, okay? Every pothole tells a story. So will it be a story of neglect or a story of actions? Eh? Because if nothing is happening, you know, definitely as I talked about that, yeah, we talked about earlier on the municipalities also. So every story, every pothole have a tell a story, either a story of neglect or actions. And the answer depend on how Namibian drives forward from here. So, yeah, if you want to still come through over these stories, story that we are discussing, so you can come through 08333 66 091, 08333 66 091. Otherwise, we get to another very important, you know, another important area as well. Another important item about our economic growth. So make sure that you come through. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
CEO.
The CEOs and, you know, where we find ourselves.
No, but for the maintenance of this road, it's not a fault of CEOs.
Yeah.
Those companies that are maintaining the road, serious.
They are the one in charge, so why not their fault? Why is not their fault?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe to appointing those companies.
Yeah.
This is where the fault is. Because as I listen to all the callers,
yeah,
when you are talking about the foreign tracks and all of that, you don't find potholes in those Trans-Karahali, Trans-Caprivi highway. What I saw in it's only B1 from Marine to Kakran. Yeah, I think, but Rehoboth Kakran, there is no pothole there. And Marine Del Kitman, there is no
but the road authority said, you know, much of this, the protective layers are becoming deteriorating.
Yeah, maybe where they didn't, because remember on some existing, there is no those pavements.
Yeah.
Yes, that is the damage. Yeah, it's causing by the tracks. Yes, when they are their goal for no of the road, yes.
Mm.
But on potholes that we are talking about here, that be calculated into to come up with that 4.5 billion.
Yeah,
it's not really costing by the highway thing, unless they want to brand folders.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Trust up. I use it, but there is nothing like that for long now. It was well maintained by those companies.
Mm.
Remember that some of those companies, they are not Namibian companies, that they are making those highways.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and if you look at also in Pungu or Nuno Road, it's the same. And I was also using this, the Makange, last of last month.
Yeah.
Makange Kamanya Road, they still also okay. There is no pothole there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the things. But in town where you're finding those contractors,
yeah,
that is where the problem is. Because tires itself, it need to be hot when you are using it.
Mm.
But these people, they are using the cold tire thing,
yeah,
with the stone. How do you expect that it extends always, and you need to be maintaining each and every month?
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes they cannot come after 2 days. So who is going to issue that invoice?
Yeah.
If it was, that is where the problem that they can check coming in, and we will see that, the road of Mashaka Matara Road, it was maintaining 3, 4, 5 and generating 8 invoice.
Mm.
How it happened? You see now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
that's why they neglected those potholes. Not because they can't, it's because the person that is were repairing that road didn't pay repairing good. It starts to be expensive. Because of what? Because the road is not touching to each other.
Yeah.
One, because a tire is like a growth thing. Remember, it comes from the oil, right?
Yeah. Mm.
It comes from, it's the same that's making the tire, the tiles. So they are the same. So those are the problems that's why RCC was having those trucks that are boiling the tires. It was a good company. Yeah, because we are in Helgo, we got it from the previous administration.
Yeah.
It was a good for their thing, but I don't know why they get rid of it. And one thing that we have also in Namibia is that most of these services, people are expecting it to be done or made by the government.
Mm.
Why companies are not coming in? I saw that like the Ochomise company, for example.
Yeah.
They can make it as a maintaining road because they have everything.
Yeah. No, I was also said the mining, you know, companies, especially the road that actually goes to the mining or to industrial, why can't they become a joint, you know, maintenance, you know, fund to maintain that road?
But the money, Mike, what we don't understand here is it's not about the issue of money.
Yeah.
Money is there. But the people that are doing the work.
Yeah.
They are not doing it in a proper way.
In a proper, actually. And that's what I say, the quality. With the money, even if it's not more, we should be also be able to see quality in what we do.
Mike, if you look, even the way that invoice or those quotation that was come up with 4.5 billion.
Yeah.
If you look at it, most of those companies, they are the one that was already in those, and they were banned nothing to do the road.
Yeah.
But they are the one that is tendering on that. That is why I'm saying sometimes we evaluated things that is not value. So those are the problems. As I give you an example of the highway road that doesn't have potholes. But here we are talking about potholes.
Yeah.
Potholes, we are talking about in town potholes.
Mm.
which are neglected, which there is no man available for them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they are blaming now everybody. And the road authority, or road to what? Is road authority, right?
Road authority, yeah.
Yeah, road authority is also doing bad by not allowing people to do just off-roading. Mm. By those, not people, doesn't want people to putting interlock on that, on their road.
Yeah. Mm.
It could be also avoiding those cracking that they are talking about.
Yeah.
But if you look at even in the, you know, Ndangwa Day, all those services that are closer to the higher, to the main road.
Yeah.
They don't have interlock. They are not joined to the higher road.
Yeah.
To the road.
Mm.
Who's the fault is that? It's the road authority. But when the truck are going to fill up that service, they are cracking the road.
Cracking the road, yeah. Mm.
Huh? And who's the fault is that? But, man, the policy here is not suitable for everything.
Yeah.
So those are the problem I'm saying. Money is not the issue here. That's why in South Africa getting rid of this accident fund, like MV fund. They said, you know, we don't want into making things very expensive just for the sake of the what? Of the road user, because you know it's a money machine.
Yeah.
Mm. No. You cannot blame it because you have a lot of trucks that are around. And I'm also saying that John Warenga, who is indicated to that, we are also getting something from the foreign trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It is understanding the thing. Those CEOs, that's what I'm saying. The problem nowadays, this government is the one that is doing bad. But if you're leading all those things from the government of our founding father, was not like this.
Mm.
Huh? There was a difference. That's why our founding father, the government, was making its own money. They're making money to building state house. They're making money to buying a new Falcon presidential jet.
Yeah.
But for this government, they don't make, because they giving their friends those things.
Yeah.
Who are not doing the job properly.
Exactly. Mm.
And you wanting to tell me that, you know, the 4.5, if you're asking the 4.5 to repair the road, what if I said destroying that one, making another one? How much it will go to 100 billion, which we don't have.
Yeah.
So those are the issue which we have in this country. The people that are doing the job, and that is what finishing the money in 2008 in the world, because people were buying counterfeit things.
Yeah.
While you are busy using your thing, your fridge, the fridge is gone. Now you are no more planning to buy a stove. It's the same issue here. We are talking about the road we were supposed to put things that the. And look at, if I want to give you an example, another, which I saw in Ndangwa there.
Yeah.
From ABC to what? To Omashat. It was the guy who was doing that road. He just played with the mosquito farm to make it black.
Yeah.
How do you expect if a truck turning there to washing out all those stones? Those are the problems. Okay, let's hear from others.
All right, thanks for coming, Tremend. All right. Okay. Our time is about 35 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 25 minutes, you know, to go. If you want to continue on this path, on this item still. So, 0833-66091, that's the number you can dial. All right. So, we come back after this commercial quickly.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya shiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randito ma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, go high.
All right. Good morning. If you're just joining us, thanks for coming on board, and you are most welcome. So, yeah, let's get into the other stories that we have, which is also very interesting. So this is about, we're talking about the Namibia's economic future, or perhaps, let's say more accurately, you know, Namibia's economic present, you know. So the new report, a new report from the Rand Merchant Bank, this is part of the First National Bank, paints a rather, how would I call this, a sobering picture, describing Namibia's economic as being stuck in neutral. You know, well, hold on, don't just jump already. Yeah, what are they meaning, okay? And this is not exactly the kind of news we want to hear, you know, about our country, but it's important we take really a deep look into what is going on, what is this all about. Now, the RMB, the RMB's latest where to invest in Africa report, places Namibia in 17th in its 2025-2026 ranking. Now, it notes several worrying trends, you know, which I think over the course of this show we talked about, and bringing in some people as well talking about. So it noted several worrying trends, including low level of investment, persistent current account deficit, and also a slow productivity growth. So essentially, Namibia is not growing as fast as it could. You know, Namibia is not growing as fast as it could, despite also being a stable country, I mean a stable economy, with a solid sectors like, you know, we have mining and fishing. Those are solid sectors. And even emerging oil and gas discovery, despite those stable economy sectors, solid sectors, we're still actually not growing fast as Namibia should, as it could. All right. So what is going on here? So now let's look at that a little bit more. Okay. Let's unpack that further. Now, first off, RMB's report highlight that Namibia's economic growth is sluggish. You know, it is like, what is the best example? Yeah. It's like having a car in a driveway with an engine running, but you are not moving anywhere. You know, the engine is running, but you're not moving anywhere. And that's what they meant by stuck in neutral. Exactly. That's what they mean. Stuck in the neutral. Now, the government, it's pinning our hopes on the offshore oil and gas, the offshore oil and gas discoveries to boost the economy. So we're pinning our hope really on oil and gas to boost our economy, and claiming that these could actually lift the growth to 8% within the next 10 years. So, well, that sounds promising, isn't it? So, but here's the question. Is this too optimistic? Is this realistic vision for Namibia's future? Now, my question is based on, as I said, the government is pinning hopes on offshore oil and gas discoveries, you know, and thinking, okay, within the next 10 to 5, within the next, 5 to 10 years, you estimate the growth to 8%, because of these discoveries, okay? It will boost our economy. Now, the question is, we have seen, you have seen it in many ways. Let's talk about even when I'm asking, is this too optimistic? You look at where we are now, even if with our, and this is something maybe we need to learn from. You look at much of our planning. Let's give just an example of 500,000 job in the next 5 years. You know, kind of like a kind of target that we make like that. You know, 500,000 jobs in the period of 5 years. Now, you look at the rate of employment in the country and you think, well, you know, we won't even make actually 200,000 within the next 5 years, according to the rate we are going. And according to the growth, economic growth, that, do you understand? So my question is looking, are we too sometimes on what evidence do we make some of this, you know, ridiculous, I wouldn't say ridiculous, but too optimistic, you know, kind of of target and plans. Eh? That's why I'm asking, is this too optimistic? Eh? Or is this a realistic vision for Namibia's future? So looking at where we are, even with our development plan, whether you're talking about Vision 2030, you know, how far are we? Eh? How much have we achieved so far? Eh? When it comes even to that, have we achieved only about only 30% of what we wanted to achieve, and it's only five years left? Do you understand? So that's, we need to be realistic sometimes. When we are realistic enough, then maybe we can do something more realistically. Even if it's taking us 20 years from now, but even if with a small step, eh? Even if it's just small step, but we are realistic with ourselves and with our reality, then it's progressing. Then when sometime we look at, we put up this 500,000, and when we don't achieve it, we're looking at that we have failed. Maybe we haven't failed. It's just that we were being unrealistic. Do you understand? So maybe we are promising something that is unrealistic within, not in our grasp at the moment. So when we're looking at Namibia's economy, there are definitely strong points. Stability, improving investment climate. Yeah. There are some innovations, of course. Yeah. But there are also real challenges. There are also real challenges. Country is still one of the most unequal. Yeah. We are unequal in the world. Alongside South Africa, of course, that's our big brother. So what is happening there should be happening to us. So the richest, in this situation, the richest get richer. While unemployment, but particularly youth unemployment, is stuck. Stuck over 30, actually, in fact, youth unemployment is over 40%. So these figures, eh? And sometimes these figures don't just look bad on paper. They have real consequences. They have real life consequences. We are talking about millions of Namibians struggling to find decent work, eh? Making a living. Talking about millions of Namibians struggling, make a living. So now, the RMB report, also point out that Namibia is importing more than it's exporting. Something that we constantly talk about. Eh? It's a tough spot to be in. This is a tough spot to be in. If you are relying on other countries for goods and equipment, for your good, for your food and other things, eh? You are essentially running on a borrowed economic time. No, seriously, you're running on a borrowed economic time. Seriously, if you are relying on other countries for good, I'm not talking in terms of trade, where you maybe your export is more than your, but here Namibia importing more than exporting. And as we talk of export, well, we mining and fishing are the main drivers in Namibia. So these are the main drivers of export income, mining and fishing. But outside of this, outside of those, not much is happening. Not much is happening. We don't have enough, you know. We hear enough of diversification. We hear talk about diversification, every talk, every public talking. We hear much about it, but there's not enough of it. There's not of much of it happening. Eh? We hear enough of it, but there's not enough actually happening. The diversification that we diversification that we're talking about. Okay?
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia. Como está?
Tudo bem, obrigado. E como está, Ligui?
Estou bem, estou bem.
No Ambulante, muita chuva, né?
Muito bem.
Por Namibiano. I think you asked the question, if did we achieve a lot? Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We did achieve a lot. And even though by the
how do you measure what you achieve? Now let me ask you now this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
By you know what the vision? What is the what do we need to achieve in vision by 5 years now? Vision 2030. How Namibia should like by now?
Namibia should just not import food from out of Namibia. We should get our own food.
Okay, we should be self-sufficient when it comes to food.
Yes.
We should be industrialized.
Yes.
We should have universal access to think of health or electricity, you know, the SDGs that, you know, all those, you know.
So, yeah, even though the price of electricity and water should be so.
Yeah, so.
Oh, we are selling too high, too fast. And too high.
Yeah. So how far are we to achieve much of those?
We are fine. The thing is like it's a matter of just the leadership.
Yeah. So
if the leadership is good, then all of these things you are talking here will be realized because I think countries which are really doing very well, they only control three sectors.
Yeah.
Agriculture, the fish industry, the sea, and the other one is the
mining and all that.
Mm. I don't know. Mining is like a bonus.
Yeah, no manufacturing.
Yeah, no, that is a bonus. It's only the tourism sector, the agriculture, and the sea. Those three things enough for us to live a beautiful life. If you put the petrol, if you put the mining and others, that's like a bonus to us. Should be a bonus to us, and should like when the petrol go high, even the price of the house go high. Those are the things where they can go get the money and minimize this kind of problem.
Yeah. So and you know one thing that I just said now is that like you know sometimes when we I ask are we too optimistic or are we realistic enough in our economic future? Because sometimes, I give an example of 500,000 employment, you know, job opportunity should be, you know, people. We should be employing about 500,000 people already by 2030, you know.
Yeah.
And we only have about five years to go. Now, within these 5 years. Now, this is where I'm said, you know, are we realistic in terms of maybe we put to this target too much, you know, that in terms of not, it's not in terms that we fail, it's just that we're not realistic in our target. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So rather than be able to be realistic, given also where we are, if we know that how far we are now, Let's say, for example, our employment rate is very low. So yeah. How, when are we going to pick up the pace to be able to employ that amount of people? You yeah. understand? Politically may sound good. You understand? Politically may sound good. But sometimes we don't just need to be politically sounding good, and in the end we seem to have failed in our promise. You might not have failed, it's just that you were not realistic from what you have promised. You know?
Yes. But I think we are not that bad. We just need to unite and look back where we did well those past years. What did we do wrong? Because as I'm telling you, like, those three sectors, agriculture and tourism and sea, those are enough for us to live a beautiful life. But if you add now the mining, the green hydrogen, which are going so good, so we should do better, unless maybe the leadership is not good.
But you're looking at it in a different way. Say, for example, we talked about 600,000 people, over 600,000 people will be going through hunger or experiencing hunger, acute hunger or something like that. Now, if you compare 600,000, you know, and this is a population out of 3 million populations. So if you compare that to other countries that have about, let's say, for example, 100 million people, you know, and you hear the number of people. So that's not a small amount in comparison to the population. Do you understand that? It's actually worse, you know? So, and when you're saying we're doing well, you could be sitting on the table where you drink tea and coffee every morning, but you might have other people that actually now don't experience what you experience. You're talking from what you experience in yourself. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know that the fact, mate.
Yeah.
You mentioned about the potholes. But the last call, the gentleman, answer you with the right. That's the reality we have today.
Yeah.
Not the whole Namibia is having potholes, but the government, because they're having a lot of things to do, having to pay the police, the teachers, the what, they give the tenders to ask for us to fix that problem. And you heard what that man told you.
Yeah, but
you
are using that's the thing. But if we, so you can say, well, the road is fine, but if now the tender that we give, it doesn't actually then improve. Like what we're talking now, that it's deteriorating, it's because it hasn't been maintained properly. Do you understand? It's because the kind of the way we are operating, we are managing our funds. So, therefore, by now you can say, yes, we are fine, we are not that bad, but you look at the how you manage your resources, it means in 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 years, that's definitely going to change.
But Mike, you see the, I'll give you one example. Né?
Yeah.
You heard about the money which I was sent by, was transferred to NAMPOST to pay the elders and so on.
Yeah.
Now think about these people who are working in that company, the one used to do the delivery of the money. Call somebody who was working in that company. What does that person have up to date? Now, think about, let me remove this company to put in the municipal, in the NAMPOST, and I'll create more jobs for these people. If you go there today, those who have been employed through that system, they can buy a house and a car. But look about those who are having those companies abusing the other people. Who's to blame here? Is the government? No.
Yeah.
Who's to blame here? Sometimes we also the problem, because we have the money, but we don't move the money on the right manner.
Yeah.
The government give you tender, so the government say, okay, I don't want to take something from you. So I'll give you the money, show me the potential for what you can do for this country. When you wake up morning time, what you do? You wake up, look around, say, okay, what can I do for my Namibia? To look at better Namibia for tomorrow. Or you think about, let me forget my money and start here.
Yeah.
The leadership also important. The leadership, if you have a good leadership,
of course,
then you'll go far.
Yeah, no, definitely, you're right. So the accountability that we're talking about, you know.
To say we are behind, no, we are totally going forward.
Yeah.
That's the matter of a leadership and the matter for you and me to think about what can I do to my country to look better.
Okay. Well, that's what we need everybody to think, you know, exactly, and to behave, and to conduct.
You know, there was just an issue to in the newspaper here saying like these people who are being guns in the north.
Yeah,
we are not happy about it. Well, the guns are coming from Angola, and they are so upset to say we want to know who's the seller of these guns. Even the big man himself in Angola, he was very upset to say, please find me the talk to those people to investigate to see where those guns are coming from. We don't want guns are running around on the border, Angola and Namibia. No, we want a peaceful country. We want to enjoy our life here. We already fight enough.
Yeah,
it's enough now to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Okay, great. All right. 57 minutes past the hour of 9. And so we were looking at the RMB report, and of course, you know, getting into a little bit into some of the things that they have highlighted. Yeah, so the government is really betting big on, you know, I was talking about that when it comes to export, which is also being then highlighted in as part of the whole thing in the report, mining and fishing are the main drivers of export income. But outside of that, not much is really much happening. And the government then it's more hoping that, you know, these discoveries, oil and gas discoveries, would actually boost the economies. And the question we need to ask is, can oil and gas really change all this? You know, can oil and gas really change all this? So, yeah. So the government is betting big on oil and gas. And they are hoping this new discovery can turn things around. Hopefully, you know, can turn things around, create jobs, and set Namibia on path to a faster growth. Now, but let's also be real for a second, you know. Does every country, so that's also where you have to ask yourself, does every country with oil and gas automatically thrive? Yeah? Just look at Angola, for example. Despite its vast oil reserves, Angola's economic, you know, growth has been sluggish, and poverty levels are still very high. So there are examples. The same thing can be said about Nigeria, you know, where oil has been a curse as much as it has been a blessing, really. So oil and gas are volatile, you know. Prices fluctuate, and if you are not careful, you know, you can become too dependent on one sector while neglecting everything else. So what does Namibia need to do differently is something that is poking all the time. Diversify, and as we said, it doesn't seem really to happen quite in many of our sectors. So diversification is a key. Oil might be a golden ticket for now, but we need to ensure that other sectors like agriculture, as others of you said, agriculture, manufacturing, and technology, you know, are also growing. So we have to make sure that these sectors are also growing. Otherwise, when oil prices drop, or when global crisis hit, you know, we could find ourselves even in deeper trouble. So, and the other things before I hand over to Tate France, something else the RMB mentioned is the productivity. It's not just about discovering new resources. It's also about using what we have more efficiently. You know,
Namibia's productivity growth has been slow. It has been slow. And the RMB is urging policymakers to implement reforms. We need a clear national investment vision. Without that, we risk continuing, you know, continuing the status quo. Do you know what is that status quo? More imports, fewer exports, job shortages. You know? So that's the status quo. And we stay in that loop, you know, where, you know, if we don't have that national investment vision, you know, we continue. We risk actually to continue in that status quo. More imports, less or fewer export and job shortages. So this all ties into one long-term development plan. The Namibia Vision 2030 talk about. So what is talk about? It talk about, you know, prosperous, industrialized, and Namibia driven by innovation. So, well, we are 2025 and we're still not seeing that level of progress. So are we on track? I will leave that for you to discuss in your boardroom, in your corridors, in your family. Are we on track? So until tomorrow, let me leave you in the hands of Mr. Franz coming up with Kutha Mosha. And make sure that you stay tuned because the conversation continues here on Eagle FM, our number one talk radio station. Until tomorrow, my dear, for me, Mike Oshaveli, goodbye for now.